Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass today. Tom and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Halloween, Friday, October 31st, 2014. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a big weekend. We are live noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we stream and podcast the show for anytime, anywhere listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our media partners, we always like to do a Friday shout-out to the folks that support the program in the media, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahurita Sun, and our newest media partner. Thank you to Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and TucsonLifestyle.com. Friday Focus interview this afternoon. He hasn't been with us in about 6 months, so we thought we would bring him back. Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll, Republican representing Supervisorial District Number 4. And joining me to question Supervisor Carroll, Tim Steller is with us, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and we welcome your calls, 790-2040. Also, if you'd like to be a friend of ours on Facebook, join the club. You can find us very easily. If you know my name, you can find us on Facebook. Mr. Steller, Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bill?
Thank you very much for coming. And Ray Carroll. Hi, Ray. How are you?
Great to be here. Thanks, Bill.
The Goldwater Institute, Supervisor Carroll, is threatening a lawsuit against you and your colleagues in Pima County unless the board ends its policy of allowing supervisors to give taxpayer money to nonprofits. Do you think this policy will end?
Bill, I'm pretty sure. First off, I have to say I'm a supporter of the Goldwater Institute. I was up there for their annual dinner at the Biltmore in Phoenix earlier this year. So I think they have a very good case here. And I think although some supervisors are feeling that it's apples and oranges, I believe that this move by the Goldwater Institute is going to eventually cause a change in that policy. I do want to say over the weeks that it's been surfacing that there's been some attention paid to it. I guess last night there was a Channel 4 news piece where they erroneously said that 4 out of 5 supervisors give to nonprofits.
Yes, they did.
Well, I had
that.
A great conversation with Matthew Schwartz. He's the reporter. News reporter, and you know, his Christy Tedesco and the other people have going to change that. And today at 5's article, so I'm grateful for Matthew taking my call and letting me explain that I've never given money out of my budget for nonprofits. I've been on the board 18 years, and when I have a request for a nonprofit donation, a dinner or a sponsorship, an ad in a magazine, I take that out of either my personal funds or my campaign funds. I have a lot of generous supporters over the years who have allowed me to store up a war chest, Bill. Mm-hmm. And out of that war chest, I define a nonprofit as a 501c3 like everybody else, and I'll bring that to my treasurer, David Smallhouse, and say, Dave, Boys and Girls Clubs wants me to go to the event, or the girls chorus is having a dinner and I'm going to be at the dinner and I need $200 for 2 seats or buying a table or an ad. So it's a very simple thing that I've been able to do, avoiding giving outside agencies money out of my department. So I've always been that kind of a supervisor. And as reported in the Green Valley News on October 21st, which was last Tuesday, Carroll said he'll vote against any donation proposed by a supervisor because any office budget money that's unspent should be returned to the general fund, which is what I've done every year of being on the board. In fact, I give back probably the most every year. Last year, I think I gave back about $60,000 to $80,000 out of the $400,000 they gave me.
Let's bring Tim in here to the conversation.
Ray, it sounds like you're making a distinction between nonprofit groups and something like the Pima Animal Care Center, because you did give money for a shed or a crate or something office money.
I supported the purchase through the Pima Animal Care Center for a shed that was a county contract that went to provide directly the facility for the Pima Animal Care in the parking lot. It's a shed that's put there to accept donations that were going to be lost if they didn't have the place to store them out of the wind, rain, and the monsoon. Actually, it was earlier in the spring. So that's absolutely apples and oranges. You know, you have there. an umbrella called the county. That was an interdepartmental expenditure. That was something that the county attorney had looked at prior to me doing it, by the way. And if an office had ever asked the county attorney to maybe look at these nonprofit expenditures, this policy probably would have been looked at just through osmosis some decades ago. But no one's ever checked. I was the one who did. And when I did, I found out that as long as I used a county procurement and a county facility was receiving it, that it was a completely an inner departmental transfer. It was $3,500 roughly. And I'd say that it was there to probably the reverse, not to give to nonprofits, but accept donations on the in the other direction.
Jerry has called the Buckmaster Show on the live line at 790-2040. Jerry, go ahead. You're with Supervisor Ray Carroll.
Yeah, Supervisor Carroll, I was at that meeting, and as I recall, the tough shed that you gave, wasn't that from the taxpayer dollars? But also the other thing you did is when there was a vote to have this brought and stopped a procedure, you voted against it rather than with Ali for it. So that concerned me because you obviously don't want to have this particular scenario stopped, giving our tax dollars to various organizations that we don't necessarily want to give to.
Okay, thank you for calling. And I can tell you, on that vote, Supervisor Miller first came to the board with her own staff preparing the background material. It only included two offices. It was definitely not a full package where you can vote on a policy change. It was, you know, lacking in so many varied ways that it's probably too much to delineate here for you, Jerry, on this radio show. But Supervisor Miller came in and wanted to do it her way. And when there's four other board members, you have to do it the statesman-like way or the diplomatic way. You have to bring it up and say, here's the issue. Let's let staff, the legal department, and others look at it and create a policy, which is what's happening. I voted against, I let Supervisor Miller have a second to discuss her policy, but when it came up that there was not enough information to define and to vote on a policy, I seconded the substitute motion for Richard Elias for more transparency in all giving in every way in the future. It's a very important vote that I want to point out to you, because this is one that your supervisor that represents your district didn't vote for, and that was the transparency policy to say that everything outside of IT, personnel, office equipment, and travel is going to be on the agenda for all board members to vote on every week. That is the most transparent government policy I've ever heard of in all of the state of Arizona, and I'm on the County Supervisors of Arizona board. I have never heard of a board being so transparent, and I wonder why Supervisor Miller didn't vote for that motion. Do you know, Jerry?
Oh, Jerry's already gone. Speaking of Supervisor Miller, the last time you were with us, as I pointed out 6 months ago, on the Friday show, you said that I asked you about this rocky relationship with your fellow Republican Supervisor Ali Miller, and you talked about how you co-sponsored a fundraiser for her campaign, and you said that you were not present at this particular fundraiser, and Supervisor Miller kind of questioned initially whether she didn't even remember that you were involved.
Well, I was on the host committee for a fundraiser at Steve Nannini's house, and you had a long conversation with him because, Bill, I remember what happened distinctly. We were on the air. I said, yes, I would have hoped that I could have had a great relationship with her because in the very beginning when she was running, I myself, Bruce Ash, national committeeman, and Steve Nannini hosted a fundraiser, and I endorsed her at the Steve Nannini for the Steve Nannini fundraiser. My family and I worked our list of contributors, and I can show you if you want to cross-reference which ones came directly from me.
Yeah, you sent me an invitation. I mean, you sent me a copy of the invitation, you know, Bill, and I think Tim saw it too. You saw
it.
Oh yeah,
I've seen it. Yep.
Tim was there, and you know, I like to treat
the fundraiser.
No, Tim was there during this discussion, but I like to treat reporters like they're from Missouri. I want to show them. because they're from the, you know, show me, and I gave you guys all the background details, including the cross list of my son and I as we were calling people who were going to attend.
Right.
For example, sometimes politicians and nonprofit groups have fundraisers where not the entire host committee could show. Mm-hmm. I'd just been through a rough primary myself. I was back visiting family that night of the fundraiser. For example, I'm being celebrated
Sunday,
this weekend.
Community Center, the Hebrew Academy, is honoring you, by the way.
And one of the two of the host committee, Bruce Ash and his wife, and Paul Baker and his wife, won't be there. Mm-hmm. But I still remember that they were on the host committee, and I'm still honored by their name on the letterhead.
Well, bottom line,
I just find
Allie
that troubling.
Didn't remember that you were involved with that, I think.
Well, not only that, Bill, it was the tone, I'm sure, that she accused me of lying about the fundraiser that you indicated to me that was kind of less diplomatic than I would have hoped.
Okay.
But it's okay. I'm happy to go on and be the best I can for the party and for whatever supervisor wants to work together. From the beginning, I said I would have liked to have a better working relationship with Supervisor Miller, and that's why I fundraised for her. That's why I endorsed her. But in the end...
How is your relationship right now with her?
Well, I do believe...
How would you characterize
it? Supervisor Miller's
office...
One
or two words.
Supervisor Miller's office is pretty much on lockdown to any other supervisor. We don't really get a lot of... she didn't come over and, in fact, lobby me on this policy with the Goldwater Institute or any other thing, even rezonings. This is a bit of a difficult thing because politics is about three votes at the Board of Supervisors.
Right.
You really need to keep your door open. You can't be in a bunker mentality. And, you know, the most information we get from Supervisor Miller's office is from the 8 ex-employees who have left there in the last 18 months.
All right, let's quickly, Tom, let's get in one more call because we've got some folks who have been waiting. How about Ingrid, and then we'll go to the break. Go ahead, Ingrid. You're with Ray Carroll.
Good afternoon. Can you tell us about the $5,000 that you've been giving away every year, I don't know for how many years, for the Greater Tucson Leadership Council's annual gala to celebrate the somebody's leadership qualities? This is money that the supervisors are voting for every year to give away for a party.
Okay.
And by the way, Allie Miller was the only one who voted no last January. How did you get started doing such a thing? How long has it been going on? And
all right,
why
Ingrid.
Has it been stopped?
Okay, thanks.
That's a good question. And Ingrid, there's a big difference between what the Goldwater Institute is concerned about and a type of contribution to the Greater Leadership Council. And that one was, in fact, to celebrate the career of Barbara LaWall. Let me explain that to you, and I'll make sure that you understand this, I hope. Goldwater Institute is concerned about offices arbitrarily giving money out of their surplus funding directly to nonprofits. There's nothing illegal about a nonprofit donation being put on the agenda for all the board members to then have publicly debated, discussed, and voted upon. The honor for Barbara LaWall was given out of the Greater Tucson Leadership offices for her lifetime achievement and the work she's done. I didn't go to the dinner, but obviously these things are vetted through the legal department. They're put on our agenda, sometimes on consent calendars, sometimes just on the addendum, and it was voted upon.
Okay.
So that is not illegal, and I think that all this important discussion about it is helpful.
All right, we're going to take our first break here on the Buckmaster Show. Tim Steller is here from The Star and Ray Carroll with us. We've got a lot of ground of other topics to cover, and hopefully we'll be able to do that when we come back with Ray Carroll right after this.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive.
Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll is here. Tim Steller is here. Matthew, I know you've been waiting on the line, but I'm not going to go to you quite yet because we still want to finish up a little bit on this topic we were discussing about the discretionary funds going to nonprofits. Tim, quick follow-up.
Yeah, okay? So Ray, I wanted to clarify. If a question came up before the board to establish a policy whereby supervisors must return any excess money from their office budgets to the general fund or to some specific county fund, how would you go on that? How would you vote?
Well, as I said in this Green Valley piece, I think all unspent office money should be sent back in future, including all of it, and to the general fund. If it's unspent in your office at the end of the year, you shouldn't be able to divvy it up and send it out to nonprofit organizations. In fact, it'll have to be debated at the dais whether you can make these inter-county transfers. And I would probably, after the experience on this last thing, it was the first time I'd ever donated any of my county funds to another department within the Pima County instead of giving it back to the general fund. I would curtail doing that in the future, Tim, so I'm glad you asked me.
I wanted to switch gears. Well, let's go to Matt. Matthew, you've been waiting a long time, and let's put you on the air here with Ray Carroll. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, first of all, Ray, I think any just off the top, any criticism of you is ridiculous on any party, and I'm sad to see that people, including the news media, just quickly jumped on a bandwagon without really doing research. You try and be very transparent and stick to principles of some sort. So I think you don't deserve any criticism on any of these issues. Real quickly, last weekend, the Star, I believe, did a very good article on the surrounding Pima County lands, Tortolita, that are that the wells are running dry, mm-hmm. and people are experiencing have been experiencing for several years a situation where they just can't drill and find water. I was wondering, has the county been able to monitor the situation with the wells? Do you have a does the county manager's office have a point person that is looking at the situation with the wells running dry around Pima County? And my recommendation would be, I don't understand why there isn't a recharge program with Cap Water that involves the county in some way to get water back into those areas.
Okay, thanks.
Still going. That's just one option. The other option is also working with the, as you know, the city of Tucson recently, in 2010, changed their policy on water. I just think we need to have a comprehensive water policy for the county. And any thoughts on your end? Thank you. Bye.
I agree, and I know we're in a deep drought, and it's one of the big reasons that I'm so opposed to the Rosemont Copper Project in the Santa Rita Mountains. But, you know, Matthew, not only have we had sustainability reporting and drought preparation reporting, and Julia Fonseca is the person that we have in charge of that kind of whole issue of sustainability, groundwater, and the depletion thereof. But I recently was in a conversation with our flood control director, who says even where I live in Midtown, kind of, well, Midtown is Craycroft and Fort Lowell to me, that's where I live, that all the mesquites along the north and south parts of the Rito in that very area are dying mm-hmm. and going because the water is below 75 feet there, and we are losing these long stands of mesquite. And it's just a really sad, haunted forest look about it. But at the same time, we're wondering how we can do something to improve that. The obvious thing is that there is possible ways that we could, you know, kind of blow up rafts and try to get some of that flood water that's in our washes to perk into those areas. But that's a very expensive project, and I just don't know exactly what their answer is going to be, but it's definitely on our radar, and I'm a big believer that this drought is going to cost us as a Southern Arizona great future possibilities, because of the fact that Cap Water is not going to be coming down here to cure our deficit of water in the basin. It's going to go to Vegas, California, Phoenix, and all the other metropolis areas and farms before it comes here, I can guarantee.
You mentioned Rosemont. Hud Bay, the new owners of the proposed Rosemont copper mine in the Santa Ritas, have been very tight-lipped, below the radar screen, unlike Augusta, who was all over the place. It seemed like there was always someone out from Augusta speaking to every imaginable group, talking to the media. What's your feeling on the project?
Well, I met with Patrick Marin. He's the person that's down here for the point people at Hud Bay. Hud Bay is the company that bought Augusta Resources and now owns the Santa Rita project called Rosemont. So when he met with me, his plan was to just pick that ball up, and I think it's been fumbled on the 5-yard line, and he's trying to run it 95 yards for a permit from the federal government, and not just the Forest Service, but I think most important for Hud Bay would be the past reaction of the Corps of Engineers and the EPA. They aim to veto that project, but the man from Hud Bay told me that they're just going to pick that football up and try to run it the other direction. I say that they're probably going to get sacked in the end zone and cause themselves a safety 2-point loss.
Let's go to the live line again. Chuck is with us. Chuck has a suggestion for Ray Carroll. Go ahead.
Yes, Supervisor Carroll. As we know now, each supervisor gets $400,000 to run their offices, and that amounts to $2 million. And if certain supervisors have money left over that they're giving away to nonprofits, that, you know, it sounds to me like that amount of $400,000 might be a little excessive. My question to you is, would you vote for a proposal to cut it in half, and the $1 million saved would go directly into road repair?
Okay, thank you, Chuck.
To cut, you know,
cut your, the office
your math is exact, Chuck, and you know, that's going to be a policy discussion that has to take place at the dais. And like I said earlier, you know, it's I don't become disagreeable if I disagree with the board majority. But I can tell you on this one, I think the administration and the board majority is probably leaning towards ending a policy of nonprofit distribution at the surplus times. I think that they've really gotten the message here from the taxpayers, and I got to applaud the Goldwater Institute. As I said earlier, I'm a supporter of theirs, and others for bringing it to the forefront. So in the end, we'll see how much I give back my surplus money in the future. I've done it in the past. We'll see what the board majority decides to do about the $400,000. It certainly is excessive in my opinion, but I've never really gone in and audited their department of their office budgets on my own. I've pretty much left people on their own to work their offices and their districts without creating any kind of further review by me independently.
Here's Tim Steller, the Star.
So if you're giving away $60,000 last year to $80,000 other years,
I'm giving it back.
I'm sorry, giving it back to the general fund. Excuse me. I'd take some of that if you wanted to give it away. So it sounds like your office can get by on what, $325,000?
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't see it going up. But, you know, we're pretty stark in my office. I've been using the same garage sale office furniture for the past 18 years that I got originally. You come up to my office and look around, it's pretty Spartan. But I have to tell you, I'm not sure until we debate and discuss and people justify these costs what they're going to actually settle in at. But I don't know how it got up to 400. It's just usually bumped with other departments, as, you know, government does.
Tim, you have anything more?
No, thanks.
Okay. We're going to wrap it up here with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. Quick note about Keno earning the same amount as baseball in its heyday. And this kind of came out on Facebook that they weren't really – I mean, it's good that that's happening, but there were some other things that fans came to town with baseball, or maybe not as many people would come to the soccer, travel to watch the soccer teams. What do you think about
listen,
that?
It's going well. It's going well for soccer down there, and baseball still carries part of the load, but I want to clarify one thing, another expenditure. I didn't vote to buy the soccer fields in addition for the Keno area. Okay. I didn't vote for that. It came out of the funding that I said it should go to a bond package election and let it stand on its own.
Did someone say you did?
Oh, of course they have. Oh. And it's just another one of these things I wanted to clear up as long as I have a chance to. That's but, you know, I wasn't around when Keno became the stadium district. I inherited that thing, and I hope that soccer does fulfill a lot of the gap in revenue that was lacking due to the departing of the Chicago White Sox and the Arizona Diamondbacks. So.
All right. Ray Carroll, to be honored by the Tucson Hebrew Academy, that will be happening Sunday at 5:30 at the Tucson Jewish Community Center. You must be very pleased with that.
I'm overwhelmed, actually, Bill. I've been on the Tucson Hebrew Academy board in the past, and I've been a chairman along with my wife of this annual dinner. It's the Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam means repairing the world, and it's something that each Jew is really asked and made part of their life's mission. And so I'm delighted to have it as the first non-Jew. I'm a Roman Catholic. I'm sure that you know that, Bill. To be awarded this honor, and I'm just, as I said, overwhelmed, touched, and I'm grateful for their support.
Okay. Congratulations. All right, Tim Steller will stick around. Dan Scheer joins us for our Friday roundtable. Ray Carroll, thanks for coming by during your lunch hour and spending some time with us. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Thank you so much, Bill. Nice to see you again, Tim.
All right.
Good to see you.
We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Ah, It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Now it's time for our Friday roundtable, and Dan Shear joins us from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and Tim Steller sticks around after our interview with Ray Carroll. This dark money, talk about a lot of dark money, Tim. $26 million is the word from the Arizona Republic, spending on state races by outside political groups. Hey, that money could go to a lot of, we're talking with Ray Carroll about nonprofits and donating to nonprofits and things.
A million here, a million there could make a little difference.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, bottom line, is it really make that much? Somebody must think it makes a big difference.
Yeah, we talked about this the last time. I keep thinking that it's just kind of a default reflex. Like, I have some money, I spend money on TV ads. Not that they are sure that it works, but just that that's what they know how to do.
Yeah, we have to ask the question, who's getting all of their political direction from a 30-second TV ad, a hit piece. And you know what? I bet it's people who at the last minute still don't know how they're going to vote, people who are not likely to read anything on the candidates, and who can be swayed by a line or two. But I think more importantly, the people who are pocketing this $26 million, the leaders of these marketing efforts or whatever, they're the ones who really are telling the candidates, this stuff works. It really works. But I know intelligent people ignore it all, but there are a lot of people who are not real intelligent who do vote.
Well, guess what? FN Rodriguez was on the show this week, and she said, she said this to Ed Alexander, our engineering, who was engineering the show, that we didn't get a chance to mention this on the air, but she said the number one call she's getting at her office, people wondering why they can't vote for Ron Barber or Martha McSally, and they're not, they don't understand. They're not in the district, but they've seen the seen the TV ads.
You cannot go anywhere. I sit out in La Placida downtown, and I overhear the music being piped out from the radio, and every ad break is a Ron Barber, Martha McSally mention.
And the last minute, this is always the last few days before the election, notorious time for so-called hit piece mailers. And I got a couple of them yesterday, one showing Ron Barber with holding a little bit of a tropical pina colada in his hand.
Yeah.
And the other one said, Ron Barber, scariest, what was it? Scariest Halloween
mask. Scariest costume of 2014. Politician Ron Barber.
Right. And you know, this stuff is, Bill, just flat out lies, because the Pina Colada one says he owns a $1.4 million hideaway down in Mexico. Not true. And again, if you are, if you're willing to accept these lies and you're not willing to check some of this, and by the way, we do have bigger issues in the nation, you know, like maybe the economy and national security and things like that that we're not talking about. But if someone wants to vote based on a lie, unfortunately, it works, because I don't think we'd be seeing it. And you're right. There's a last-minute push, and this stuff is just really going to get worse.
And FN Rodriguez did say that the mail-in coming in about at the same pace as the primary, and that was about 84-85% people voting early ballot. It looks like it's going to be that or even more for this. So that means right now most people have voted.
Yeah, right. So you got to wonder who they're going after. I mean, they're just, right. You know, I talked to DJ Quinlan, the head of the state Democratic Party, because they put out a piece promoting the Libertarian in CD9. That's Kristen Sinema's district. So in other words, they're trying to convince conservatives to vote for the Libertarian, right, trying to say that he is the most conservative option.
And Bill,
he said they were just trying to dot all their I's and cross all their T's.
Well, and Bill, you ask who hasn't voted yet, and I think I told you a couple of weeks ago I spoke to Ron Barber, and he said they had it down to about 5% of people had not yet decided. Now, in that last couple of weeks, I bet a lot of them have, but in that race, 5% is really, really going to matter.
What's your take on that race?
Boy, you know, this doesn't have as much buzz down in Green Valley as the 2012 matchup did. People are still very concerned about it, and the candidates have been down there an awful lot. I'm not going to call this one. Just not going to be put in that position. Yeah. I'll tell you this. I don't think it's going to be as close as 2012, and where he edged her by less than a percentage point.
But you're not sure who's going to win it. Someone's going to win bigger.
Yeah, I have my opinion. Yeah, I have my opinion, but it's
You'd rather not give it at this point.
Nope.
Kim is probably in the same boat, and I think I'd rather withhold it as well. Just to say that it's going to be very, very close.
Sure.
I believe that.
Yeah, you know, the one difference that I see this year as opposed to the last race is that Martha McSally was new last time, and you lose a little bit of that fresh luster when you're the challenger. So you know that, you know, she's also got a lot gain name recognition. So.
And
I don't
it is
know, could wash.
So difficult to beat an incumbent.
It is
when you talk about Congress,
especially when you really can't pin something huge on him. And we were earlier the Sierra Vista Herald, which is a sister paper, a WIC paper of ours. They endorsed Ron Barber, and that was a little bit of a surprise because they are in a conservative area, Fort Huachuca. She's military, they're military, but they went with him. And basically, they said because he really hasn't done anything awful to throw us off the rails,
wait a minute.
And give us give him a chance in a normal Congress, and I'm not sure what that looks like anymore, he probably could get some things done, and he does care about people. That
How
was their
can
point.
You say he hasn't done anything really awful when this mailer tells us that he voted for the terrifying Ryan budget?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, that raises all sorts of questions.
Yeah, Ryan. Scary Halloween mailer that came out. I want to talk about this whole education funding thing, and the court case began this week, whether and how the state is to proceed. A judge is going to make that decision about pretty much, are you going to pay the settlement of $330,000, they wish it was $330,000, $330 million to our public schools. That would be the settlement, Tim Steller. Or are you going to fight this in court and maybe be looking at $1.3 billion? And the attorney for the state said, that's impossible.
Right.
You wrote a column on that saying, well, it really isn't impossible. Yes, the state could come up with that money, but what would it do to the state?
Right, right. It's all a question of how you do these things. But it's also the terms of any settlement would likely allow this. It's not as if the state has to pull a billion-dollar bill out of their wallet and hand it over to the schools. Any settlement would allow them to pay over a period of years. And I think the key here is not that while it would be hard on the state, it's a question of whether you're going to suspend some future planned tax cuts, past tax cuts for corporations and capital gains tax cuts, for example. Those are the ones that are really there as a possible way of paying for this. And there's other things, loopholes that could be ended. And, of course, the sales tax could always be raised again. That's the usual tool that we revert to.
I have found it aggravating that we're even talking about a settlement here, because the money is owed. The money was decided by the voters that we were going to pay this, and the state decided just to suspend this a few years ago and never got back at it. So, and we know that we do a very poor job of funding education in this state anyway. So my answer to this would be, find the money because you owe it. And I'm a little aggravated that we're even discussing something that's just a fraction of what is owed.
Hey, Emil Franzi, our friend from the weekend, had a piece, op-ed in your paper, the Green Valley News, the myths about Pima County debt. It always seems to come up. The critics of Pima County say it's the folks here pay the highest property taxes in the state, which is true, but.
Right. And Emil writes this column, you know, about every year with new numbers. It is, I will tell you, it's one of the most fascinating pieces I have read, because it's talking about how politicians have fun with numbers and how the media parrot those numbers without really looking into them themselves. And there's lots of ways to slice and dice it, but I'll just tell you one here. What you need to look at is your bottom line tax bill. Mm-hmm. All of the entities together, what do you pay? And if you look at that, then you can start deciding whose tax bill is too high. I mean, who's charging us too much or assessing us too much. That's really what you want to do. Don't look at Pima County alone. Look at all of them, because one-third of Pima County is unincorporated. Therefore, Pima County Board of Supervisors is their first layer of government, where up in Maricopa County, it's 6%.
Yes, it's very little unincorporated.
Look at your tax bill, your overall tax bill, the taxing districts, the government, whatever. Then break it down and decide who's charging you too much.
And that actually came up in that Channel 4 piece last night. They brought up Pima County is the folks here being taxed.
And that's the ignorance of the media right there.
Yeah.
And TV news does not go deep, Bill. Let's just put it out there. But that was unfortunate, because that's
a couple of decades doing that.
Yes. Well, that set that story just off in left field right away.
Whole thing in the newsroom is, if you can't make people feel very fearful before they go to bed, you haven't been successful.
There you go.
If they're able to sleep, you failed. Hey, there is one other measure of this that I find interesting, which is a bond rating. Because, you know, this is the measure of how secure the counties are. And I'm looking here, the last Pima County bond rating I can find was an AA- on general obligation bonds by S&P. That compares, if you look at Maricopa County, looks like it's, what, AAA or mm-hmm. AA+. So point being, yes, I think our bond rating is a little lower than some other counties. So there's maybe a tiny reason for concern, but overall, It's all right. You know, the A-minus stable outlook is all right.
Right. Compared to other entities, we're in pretty good shape. And remember, Pima County is the only county in Arizona without a sales tax.
You did the Green Valley News did something kind of a, you tried to find a Ebola local connection, and I think you found one, didn't you?
Well, Mark Armau, who is our science intern this semester, he's out of U of A. He spoke to Sean Elliott, who's the medical director at U of A Health Network.
Not and the former
not the basketball player, yeah. And Elliott told him that Tucson's relatively high population of West African nationals increases the likelihood that an Ebola patient will be found in southern Arizona. He flat out said, yes, it's coming. And he's the closest thing we've had to a medical authority who says brace yourself. It's very likely to come here. And our reaction from our readers has been, ranged everything from horrified to, why would you print that? And if you look at the stats from 1998 to present, we've had 250 refugees from West African countries resettled in the Tucson area. And his point was that's fairly high compared to other areas, and who knows how that disease could potentially be introduced through them. So I think it's a good point. I think that he is being honest, and I think the backlash is unwarranted.
Well, I think I'd take a little different approach to that, because the fact that a person in Tucson might get Ebola, or let's say probably will get Ebola, I mean, unless it's part of a broader outbreak,
right?
The country has shown it's been able to handle cases. A smattering here and a smattering there.
A case comes here in this country, the rate is better than it would have been in Africa, sir.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think what the country is showing is that with prompt, good medical care, these cases can be addressed pretty successfully.
Hey, and Dan, one more note. Green Valley lost an icon, a gentleman that we had on this program about a year ago who tirelessly worked to improve recreation in Green Valley with softball complexes.
Yeah, Chuck Catino was the driving force behind Green Valley's first public park, and it opened in January with a couple of softball fields, and they are named for him. He died Monday of cancer. A terrific guy, but this guy did everything from arrange the donation of the land to getting it prepared for construction, and I will tell you, up until just a few days before he died, he was in my office still saying, we want more, we want more, and he says, I have a new goal. And that is a public park in every county in Arizona. And Chuck was a terrific person. Our heart goes out to him and his wife, Mary Lou. And there will be a memorial service for him at the park, Kanoa Preserve Park, at 3 p.m. on Sunday. And I will be there.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. We're going to wrap it up with Tim Steller and Dan Scheer. And, of course, Tuesday is Election Day. And Dan has graciously accepted my invitation to co-host with me the first half hour of the show, rather than be down here election night till midnight when we still don't know very much. We will hopefully know something at noon on Wednesday, and we'll also have our friend Jim Small from the Capital Times with us for the first half hour. So that should be
absolutely
fun. Thank you, Dan and Tim. Hope you both have great weekends.
Thank you.
Be right back.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry,
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
All right, it's time for Weekend Watch, brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Boy, what a great weekend this would be to head over to Silver City, check out the autumn leaves. Hey, the elevation when you get about over 5,500 feet there in the Gila National Wilderness, some really nice color with the aspen trees. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Find out about all the wonderful places to stay and things to do by visiting their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Great places to stay like Agave Ridge Retreat and Little Toad Creek Inn. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, and he's in his scary Halloween costume, Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist. Matt, who won the Russell Public Communication Scary Costume Award today?
Well, we're still trying to judge that. You know, it's early in the afternoon, but we've got some scary folks around the agency today. I'm still looking for the perfect trick-or-treat candy bag tonight for my own purposes. I think a king-size pillowcase is going to work perfectly for me.
And I understand you pulled out the old Batman costume today for the Halloween, all that was available.
Looks like you've been spying on me, Bill.
And speaking of Halloween, how about some kind of a voodoo dinner?
Yeah, a great way to kick off your Halloween weekend is tonight at The Parish at 6453 North Oracle Road. They're going to be hosting their annual voodoo dinner, and this is one scary menu, Bill, which is anchored by a breed of chicken called a silky, which actually has black skin, black meat, and black bones, if you can imagine. Talk about frightening. Ooh. Other selections include a swamp gumbo with all kinds of scary little creatures thrown in, and a tiramisu dessert that features a floating finger made from almond cookies. Now, all this plus live music and dancing, you've got a Halloween evening fit for ghouls and goblins alike.
Well, you scared us already with talking about that mystery meat here. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass just about went through the roof when you heard about that kind of meat. That is really weird. How about a grand opening where we talk a little bit about breweries and the suds here on the show?
Yeah, you know, can you believe it, Bill? Another brewery just opened in Tucson, and I was there just yesterday to get a sneak peek. Now, it's called the Pueblo Vida Brewing Company, and it's downtown, 115 East Broadway. Now, the brewer is a fourth-generation Tucsonan, and let me tell you, he knows his way around a tank of suds. There are currently three signature brews on tap, including just a beautiful dark American stout and a gorgeous Northwest IPA that is a must for hopheads like I am. This funky urban space dates back to 1918, and I think it's the perfect backdrop to enjoy a few beers at Pueblo Vida this weekend.
How about a Sunday brunch on Halloween weekend?
Yeah, our brunch brigade has been hitting the streets looking for great brunches, and I suggest North Italia in La Encantada at Skyline and Campbell this weekend. I like to start with a pitcher of sangria made with brandy and red wine, blood orange, strawberry, and lime, or take advantage of $5 mimosas and bellinis with some eggs and short rib hash, or some fresh pasta dishes like my favorite, the chicken strozzapreti with chicken and mushrooms, all kinds of wonderful goodness. It's also the perfect patio weekend weather-wise, so enjoy brunch al fresco at North.
I'll take one of each, Matt.
Absolutely.
Inside Tucson Business, the column.
Okay, are you ready, Bill Buckmaster?
Mm-hmm.
A local restaurateur recently told me that there's one animal on his menu that is typically eaten while it is still alive. Now, Bill, I cannot make this up.
Oh.
I tell the entire story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. Get ready, sir.
Oh, boy, appropriate for Halloween indeed, Matt. Have a great one. Thank you, sir.
Right back to you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. We are wholly responsible for its content on behalf of our team, the folks here at KVOI, specifically Ed Alexander and Tom Fairbanks, and all the rest of the gang, and Rosemary Brandt, our executive assistant. We wish you a wonderful and safe weekend and remind you that bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. Check out KVOI over the weekend, and I know, Tom, you'll be here tomorrow morning, bright and early, to get things rolling. Phil Cedar with the gardening show getting underway at 7, a show I like very much. I've been known to call on occasion. In the meantime, have a great weekend.